Welcome to the Institute of Leadership and Management's weekly news roundup podcast, where we take a look at some topical developments with a leadership and management theme. I'm business and finance journalist Matt Packer, and in this episode we'll be exploring stories from the week of the 23rd of April, including survey revelations that our work and home lives are becoming increasingly blurred. A Bank of England analyst says that UK productivity in the decade since the financial crisis has been at its worst level since the late 18th century. A £75 million pay deal for Persimmon chief executive Jeff Fairburn only just squeaks through a shareholder vote. TSB branch staff suffer emotional distress amid the bank's lengthy IT woes, and SME bosses are failing to let their staff know that their firms have been breached in cyber attacks. Joining me to analyse these developments is the Institute's Head of Research, Policy and Standards, Kate Cooper. Hello, Kate.
Hi, Matt.
Okay, in our first story, a total job survey of more than 6,700 UK workers has flagged up some pretty worrying trends. According to the poll, the average employee is spending 7 hours and 49 minutes per week doing extra work at home and 6 hours and 4 minutes doing personal tasks at work. These problems seem to be compounded by a change of attitudes. Less than a quarter of workers think that it's important to set hard boundaries between their work and home lives, and just 8% say that their bosses actively encourage them to do so. Do you think that at some point not too far away we're going to hit a cliff edge in our ability to tolerate this cross-interference between two areas of life that should ideally be kept separate?
No, I think we are going to get increasingly better at managing those boundaries and blurring the boundaries. Our research consistently reveals that people really value flexible working. So this is bound to happen. I think the revealing figure here is that most people don't actually mind.
Yeah.
We're just changing the way that we interact. The key, of course, is how you manage those boundaries.
Because the key is really avoiding exhaustion, isn't it?
It is. And it's using healthy eating, exercise, social activities as energizers. And one would expect one's manager to support your choices and to keep an eye out.
Yeah, even though just 8% of workers say that their bosses actively encourage them to keep their work lives and home lives separate, bosses still have a part to play in keeping an eye on their staff just to make sure that they're staying on the right side of the line.
Oh, absolutely, because they've got to manage their own work-life balance as well. And consistently, we come back to the importance of role models.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. In our second story, a Bank of England analyst has revealed that UK productivity in the decade since 2007 has been at its lowest ebb since the late 18th century. In a post on the Bank Underground blog, John Lewis explained that he compared post-2007 productivity data with that of previous eras held within the bank's data archive. Lewis notes that while UK productivity growth had worse phases after two massive dips in the 18th century, 10-year average productivity growth since 2007 was negative for the first time in a century. Now, what kind of role do you think leadership and management practices have played in contributing to that rather bleak picture?
This confounds commentators. Why is UK productivity so poor compared to our European counterparts? And the Engage for Success movement has started to try and engage with engagement's role in productivity and had, it seems, very little impact. So what's going on here? Are people not caring about their jobs? Are leaders and managers not bothering to encourage and inspire? Nobody knows the answers to these questions, but I think in terms of the leadership of organisations, it is something that you can do. And one of the things, of course, is aligning the purpose of your organisation, the so what, the why it's there, and trying to ignite a similar degree of caring with the people who work there, that they feel that they're contributing to
something
a higher
purpose.
Meaningful. Yeah. Absolutely. And also that their work has meaning. How many people attend meetings or do tasks that they really think this is pointless?
Yeah, I mean, it seems that a lot of critical reflection is required.
Absolutely. Everybody can contribute to this because ultimately, I know it's a cliche, but you do get back what you put in.
Absolutely. Okay, in our third story, shareholders of house builder Persimmon have approved a £75 million pay deal for chief executive Jeff Fairburn this week, but only by the narrowest margin, with 48.5% of the firm's backers voting against. Fairburn's deal had been the subject of significant shareholder controversy and had initially stood at £110 million before investors' complaints led it to be reduced. Even the firm's chairman, Nigel Mill, admitted this could all have been handled better. A written statement from investor Aberdeen Standard to the annual meeting at which the vote was held encapsulated some some of the frustrations that investors had harboured over the deal, with the firm's corporate governance chief Ewan Stirling arguing that being a company director, quote, requires a personal motivation that goes beyond simply amassing a fortune, close quote. Now, going back to Chairman Nigel Mills' words, exactly how can organisations handle situations like this better?
Well, I think going back to the last piece, you get back what you put in. One can assume here that what is being put in by Fairbairn is considerable. Mm-hmm. And it's a funny comment, I think, for Nigel to have made, because although there was a lot of antagonism towards this pay award, it still went through. Mm. But I think in terms of PR, this is a disaster. Rather than Nigel Mill talking about it should have been handled better, I would have liked to see some evidence as to why it was justified.
Mm, because there's a whole he must have been doing something right factor here.
Let us know. Let's see some graphs of the personal productivity and his own pay awards. Let's see if we can really justify this very, very high level of pay.
Excellent. Okay, next up, an anonymous TSB branch manager has given an interview to the BBC that highlights the human cost of the IT collapse that has plagued the bank since the 20th of April. As many listeners will no doubt be aware, basic TSB online and branch banking functions have been in a tailspin following the bank's attempt on that date to transfer 1.3 billion customer records from former parent company Lloyds Banking Group to new owner Banco Sabadell. In the BBC interview, the branch manager said, quote, I'm concerned for my staff. They were in all over the weekend and have all been expected to work from 7 a.m. till 8 p.m. I've spoken with many other branch managers and there have been multiple staff members breaking down, being sent home physically and emotionally exhausted. It is heartbreaking for me as a manager seeing my amazing team break down one by one, close quote. What kind of staff care provisions should firms put in place amid situations like this?
Well, I think firstly, I mean, people have already been saying that this was known about, that this was going to be a very difficult transfer and unlikely to be successful. Flag up that this is going to happen. Flag up that you're going to have much higher expectations of your staff, but also say how you're going to reward and compensate them for that additional effort. And for individual managers being in a position where they're overstretched and feeling that somehow they're exploiting their staff, how are you going to recover from that? Not very quickly.
Yeah, and this is a huge data set. I mean, 1.3 billion customer records is vast.
I can't believe they thought it was going to be anything other than problematic, even with the most optimistic forecasts. And one hopes that there will be some company-wide reward for this exceptional effort that people are having to put in. And I think going back to thinking about productivity, is that one of our problems? We're not terribly good at rewarding and acknowledging super effort.
Okay, and finally, new research from Barclays shows that digital fraud against the UK's SME community has wiped out 50,000 jobs, with each firm losing an average of £35,000. 44% of small firms have been targeted for fraud, with one in four of them falling victim. Yet in 28% of the affected firms, leaders haven't informed staff that company systems have been breached, which rather suggests that they are embarrassed or ashamed. To combat the problem, Barclays has launched an awareness campaign fronted by former England defender and current SME owner Sol Campbell, who says, quote, playing in a team and training are vital in business as well as sport, close quote. This strikes me as one arena where leaders can't afford to let embarrassment stand in the way of communication. What's your assessment?
It's not surprising in a way. The small companies, they're probably not such an appreciation of risk. They might see the investment in safeguarding as not being as important. I think Sol Campbell stepping forward and saying, I've been a victim of this fraud, it's encouraging for all of us, isn't it? Somebody like that can say, yes, they got me too. So the solution really is to raise awareness of it, for banks to step forward as they're doing and offering advice and realising that managing your information systems is absolutely, it's an organisational imperative.
Yeah, I mean, especially in the current climate where technology is just a force that's affecting everything.
We're moving in uncharted waters, aren't we? We're only finding out the unforeseen consequences of some of the decisions that are made. But actually, isn't that how we learn? The next time you're moving 1.3 billion accounts or thinking about a new system or a new process, you actually think, well, what can go wrong with this? How can I protect my company?
And who can help you protect it? Who do you need to appoint in order to solve that problem?
Yeah, absolutely. This is expertise we need. It's not a nice to have.
Yeah, it's a must have.
It's an essential. Yeah.
Yeah, excellent. Okay, well, thank you very much indeed for your insights, Kate. I look forward to exploring a new set of stories with you next week.
Okay, great, Matt. Nice to talk to you.